Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
In honor of Earth Day, we've been digging into the Living on Earth archives for some favorite stories and catching up on new developments. Today, we revisit a rather ominous report we aired in 2006, one that could have come from a Hitchcock classic.
They're so thick, it's almost like out of the movies, The Birds.
You know, for citizens of Auburn, New York, the invasion of crows is not Hollywood fiction. Each winter, it's been daily reality.
It's a gigantic black explosion. The noise, the beauty of the whole thing, it was beautiful. If that was on television, I would watch it. I'd love that.
When producer Cy Montgomery visited Auburn to report on a city inundated with crows, she found residents divided over whether the birds were a blessing or a curse.
Auburn is a small city, a city of fine old churches and pretty little parks, located about 25 miles southwest of Syracuse as the crow flies. And each winter, a lot of crows do fly to this community of 28,000 people. Tens of thousands of them. The spectacle begins around dusk, a river of black wings, the air alive with noisy, hurrying birds flowing down from the sky. No one knows exactly why crows mass in the winter. Ornithologists think they do it to share information or ward off predators with sheer numbers. Whatever the reason, crows have been roosting in Auburn for at least 100 years. They used to keep to the outskirts, but lately they've been coming downtown. Maybe it's the fine dining.
They know our trash routes better than our sanitation department.
That's Auburn's mayor, Tim Lattimore. When he took office, downtown Auburn's crow roost was the biggest in the state. Last winter, biologists counted 63,000 of them. In Auburn, in winter, crows are the talk of the town. Some folks welcome them. Others are intimidated by so many blackbirds. But on one point, most agree. Tens of thousands of crows can leave your city in, well, deep doo-doo.
I mean, there are some businesses that we have here in town, such as the bank. The girls would have to leave and wear their umbrellas. Our local YMCA, when people came out at night, they would normally get hit two or three times.
Though experts assure the birds pose no threat of transmitting, say, bird flu, the crows do present the mayor with a big public relations problem.
I'm trying to attract Fortune 500 companies, and with the droppings that the birds were giving, I mean, the fecal matter was, you know, the people would walk in City Hall with fecal matter on their feet. It's just not cleanly. It just doesn't give the right presentation that we want to give off here in the city of Auburn.
So he called in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services Program. Biologist Rich Chipman is the New York State director.
Hey, Adam. Yeah, did you find some? Yeah, big time.
For a week, Chipman and eight federal scientists team up with eight city employees, including Dave Spider Ganey, who's been working Auburn streets for 35 years.
Here, let me give you the spider. Van Anden Street.
Hello? Van Anden Street? All right, give us about 2 minutes. We're about 2 minutes away from there.
Wearing blaze orange vests and driving trucks boldly labeled USDA Wildlife Services, these men are on a mission to drive as many crows out of town as they can.
We want to get down to State Street. Stay right in this lane.
Tonight, we head for one of the birds' favorite spots, a neighborhood of tall pines and oaks, not far from a ball field.
This is prime time. We're at about 6 o'clock, where we'd certainly expect to see crows trying to roost here for the night.
The team's arsenal is completely non-lethal, but effective. A tape recording of a crow distress call broadcasts the news that this is no place to spend the night. Shining a bright red laser into the trees makes the crows nervous. Pretty soon, the flock gets the message.
Hey,
As thousands of crows flee the trees, their wing beats sound like a rainstorm. And their deep black forms against the gray sky look like night itself taking flight. Each night, teams try to hit all the crow hotspots, like a little park on the west side of town.
Here along the back of the bench, you can see whitewash. This is all crow dropping in here. It's really impacted people's ability to enjoy the area.
See, I work for the city, so I see it all the time. The parking meters were so bad they couldn't put money into them. They'd be dripping with this.
But in the grove of trees where the birds typically roost, we find none tonight. This is the fifth night of the program, and these extremely intelligent birds are learning fast. If they don't leave, things will only get worse.
You have your artillery rounds, Rich?
I do.
Well, I got some caps left. Okay. You needed them.
For stubborn crows, Chipman and Spider break out the heavy stuff. Screaming rockets shot off from a cap gun zigzag into the night air.
He's going to put the laser in there, and we're going to do the pyrotechnic again.
Near the maximum security prison, usually a favored spot, one lone crow eyes the USDA truck suspiciously from the top of a tall tree.
Quite often before they roost, they'll send in a sentinel or a scout to make sure things are okay. And you can see this guy that just came in here, and he's looking around. And he's obviously a little nervous, see how he's sort of bobbing back and forth. He may go back and send the message that this isn't a place to go for tonight. They actually communicate back and forth quite a bit.
Word's apparently spreading in Crotum. So far, 90% of the 36,000 crows that showed up this year are gone. After 7 days and $14,000 city dollars, downtown Auburn is no longer Crow City.
Reporter Cy Montgomery telling us about the crows of Auburn, New York, from that story in 2006. And with us on the phone now to give us the update is the city of Auburn's superintendent of public works, Jerry DelFavero. Hi, Mr. DelFavero.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Yep.
When Cy Montgomery told us about this just 3 years ago, you had more than 30,000 crows. How many this year?
We're down to thousands. I mean, it's a manageable flock. I mean, you wouldn't even know it's a problem in Auburn anymore.
And remind us, you're doing what? This isn't scarecrows and tying a pie tin in the top of a tree. It's a little more sophisticated than that.
It is a system. Believe it or not, there is a science to this program. It's a 7-day program. We start at the end of October, and it's we do from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., and then we start in the morning from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. So it's twice a day, 7 days a week, and we're using the lasers, we're using the pyrotechnics, and we're using squawk boxes, distress calls, and regular lighting also. And we have a system. We have a group of 6 to 8 guys. They're in 3 or 4 different trucks. They're in radio communication. They actually, it's almost like herding cattle. They know how to move these crows and know where to move them, so they move right outside the city. And within 7 days, it's unbelievable, the difference.
It sounds like this costs a lot of money, though.
Actually, when we were going to contract with the USDA, it was a pretty big amount, but it was worth it even at that. But now with us doing it, we purchased our own equipment. We probably got around $2,500 worth of equipment purchased. And with our labor, it's the guys are got to be here anyways. We're using them for the 8-hour day, and 6 to 8 guys out of 70 employees that we have at the public works. So it really isn't that costly for us at this time, you know, with us doing it ourselves. It's working very well.
And I guess you've got to be saving some money in terms of the you don't have as much crow excrement to deal with.
Well, I can tell you right now that in the last few years, we've had a handful of crow complaints. I mean, 10, 12 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, I mean, it was constant daily. We were getting calls all the time. What are we going to do about this? I can't get down my sidewalk. My car's covered with it. You're going to pay for washing it? And it was like a constant barrage of calls. Now that's a handful a year, and that's because you might have 100 crows in one tree near a residential area or whatever.
You know who I bet is not happy about your success here? the people who own the car wash?
Well, you know what? We still got salt and snow and dirt. So, you still got to wash your car. Unfortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, you don't have those big white globs all over everything. So I'm glad it's happening, and no crows are being hurt. Unfortunately, I get calls from other surrounding towns and cities wanting to know why I sent the birds over to them or whatever.
And where do they go?
On the outskirts, there's a lot of rural areas outside of Auburn, and hopefully that's where they're going. I really can't pinpoint, we don't take the birds or whatever, but, it is working, and if they're going back out to the country into the cornfields, that's great.
This might seem like a strange question for someone who's devoted so much time to chasing these birds away, but I'm wondering, do you miss them a little bit? Because
it was kind of
a phenomenon.
Let me tell you, I've been with the city for over 30 years. Just going down, we have an arterial that goes through the town. Just going down, if we were down visiting the mall with my family or whatever, the first thing you would do at 6 o'clock during the winter months is look up to the sky and be amazed at how many crows were there. It was quite a sight to see. If you've never seen it, you would be shocked. If you were driving through town, you'd probably pull over just to watch that event. It was quite an amazing sight to see such a flock coming in and going out of Auburn.
Jerry Del Favaro is superintendent of the Public Works Department for the city of Auburn in New York, talking to us about dealing with far too many crows. Thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye.
There's a crow flying, talking ragged, tree to tree. He's black as the highway that's leading me. Now he's diving down to pick up on something shiny. I feel like that black crow flying in a blue sky.
Just ahead, notes to celebrate Earth Day and its 39th birthday. Stay with us on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.